Say today is the day. If you want to get to Book Bazaar at your minor, because the legend himself, Jimmy Barnes, is going to be there. Woo! And he's with us this morning.
Jimmy Barnes, hello.
Hey, g'day, Jimmy.
How are you guys?
Yeah, really well. How are you, mate?
I'm fighting fit, ridiculously well.
Yeah, I saw you on the Today Show the other day. Oh, you're looking gorgeous.
Geez, you got muscles.
You smooth talker. But just say I've got muscles. I've been really working on that.
See, I noticed.
Good on you. Thanks for that.
Because you're gearing up. You're gearing up for your book tour and your money.
I've got to get prepared. This is a big run. We've got a big book tour and it goes right through to May next year. So I'm healthy. Healthier than Mally Bull. Twice as smart and ready to rock.
Oh, you know what? That sounds dangerous. Sounds positively dangerous, Jimmy Barnes.
I am dangerous.
Oh, be careful if you go to Book Bazaar at your minor today. You're going to be in trouble. But Jimmy, this is your second book. The sequel to Working Class Boy is Working Class Man, and it is out.
Yeah, and it's, it's a good thing. I mean, when I dropped The Working Class Boy, a year, 18 months ago, it was a big thing for me because it was like really bearing my soul. This is the stuff that I'd never spoke to people about. What I wanted to do with this book was all the issues, all the fears and shame and violence that I spoke about in that first book, I wanted to show how that affected me as an adult. Now, people have seen a lot of how it affected me because I obviously did it in the public eye. But behind the scenes, there was a lot of stuff that really, you know, a lot of those issues helped me because it made me want to be liked and made me want to be wild and made me want to be out of it and made me want to be crazy and aggressive. But it also nearly killed me. So there's a lot of stuff that people don't know about the effects of trauma, I guess, and the effects that has on an adult. It made it really difficult for me to have, to have these relationships, like a family relationship with myself. You know, I used to be out every night and I'd play to 50,000 people and come home at the hotel room and look at the mirror and just not like what I've seen. Yeah? And eventually it took me to almost death.
Jimmy, that we just joked about how healthy you are, dangerously well. You'd actually be healthier and fitter now than you were as a young man in that way.
Absolutely. I've never been healthier in my life. There's times you can look at periods in my life where I look like Gollum. You know, I was just drinking and taking so many drugs and not sleeping and hating myself and just, trying to drink myself into the ground. And I didn't realize I was doing it. I was just sort of just running on empty and just not, not trying to look back and not trying to feel. 5 years ago or so, I got to the point where I thought, well, I can't run from this anymore. I got to turn and face it. I did literally end up hanging on the end of a rope in a hotel room, and I didn't die. And I picked myself up and I thought, okay, get this together. And I had to look at myself and not get myself together thinking, okay, I can save everything. Everything's going to be great. I had to look at it and say, you got to pick yourself up, and no matter what comes, you've got to deal with it. That's what made me stronger.
Jimmy, do you believe writing this was therapeutic, the first one and the second one?
Oh, absolutely. I think it's just opening the door, really. I mean, both of these books, like with the first book, I remember when I wrote it, I felt the weight lifting off my shoulders. But then over the next 6 months talking about it and traveling, I learned more and more and more about myself. Some stuff got harder to deal with, some stuff got easier, but it all seemed air. And I think the issues of fear and shame and guilt and all those things are much better with light shone on them. They're much better out in the public because, when you lock them inside you, they're the things that poison you. They're the things that kill you. They're the things that destroy your relationships. They're the things that don't allow you to communicate with anybody.
We know that there'd be a lot of fans that can identify with all of this journey that you've been on, but I'm reckoning that there are people outside the rock world, outside the music world, that would be looking in and thinking, here's a guy that I've heard of, I've heard his music around, I've never been really a fan, but man, I can really identify with this thing that's happened to him and how it's all transpired over the years. I'll bet there's a lot of people who are inspired by this.
Well, I hope so, because, really, it doesn't matter whether you're a rock singer, a DJ, or working in a factory, or whatever. You can be doing anything. We're all suffering. We're all in this. It's this human condition. It's trying to get through life. And, we're all trying to, learn how to love and how to feel. And it's sometimes it's scary and sometimes, it's difficult. But we have to sort of learn to reach out and be there for each other. There's too many families, too many people suffering in this country. There's too much domestic violence, too much suicide, too much struggling. And, we can't sit and wait for governments to come and fix us. We have to reach out to each other. I'm appalled at how the poverty still in this country. When I was a kid, struggling to find food, you know, being ashamed because of where we, the way we lived. And there's still families living like that today, and it's a horrible thing. And so we can't, we have to help each other. We have to reach out. If you see your mates, if you see, you know, your friends who are struggling, you know, the ones that drink themselves to oblivion every night, grab them aside and talk to them. Let them know that at least they've got someone there, because really quite often you'll find that they're, it's very lonely. I had the whole of the country looking at me, thinking, you know, liking me and telling me how good I was, but I couldn't see it. I needed to talk to someone to get through it. And the day that I did actually, you know, get professional help, I remember thinking when I was, you know, heading that way, thinking, oh, this is, I'm just, this is the weakest I'll ever be. I can't do this on my own. I'm so weak. And when I first got help, it was like a miracle. I felt, that's the first time that I felt like I'd actually felt courageous.
Jimmy, do you think fame led to a lot of the addiction?
Oh, no, no. I think fame fueled it. I think these were, you know, I was born an alcoholic. You know, my dad was an alcoholic, his dad was an alcoholic, and so on and so on. I think poverty, fear, abuse, violence, you know, I was drinking, like getting drunk at 9 years old. I was taking, you know, hard drugs by the time I was 12 and 13. I was well out of control way before I joined a rock and roll band. And when I got in a rock and roll band, all those things that were, you know, if you were doing these things that I was doing at 16, you know, your parents would have you locked up, you know. I was out doing it on stage and people are going, yeah, Jimmy, go crazy. So the more out of it I got, the wilder I got, the more out of control I got, the more people liked me. And it sort of reinforced, you know, this thing in myself, because I didn't like myself. And I didn't realize that until recently. I didn't like myself. My only sense of self-worth was measured on what other people thought of me. So if people liked me out there, if somebody liked you and wanted to sleep with you, that was great. If somebody said you were great, then you felt good for a minute. But it was only fleeting. It was only fleeting. It didn't last.
It's not lasting. Now, so this is why it's super important to read the first Working Class Boy, then back that straight up with Working Class Man, because I guess by the end of this, we're starting to see the light. We're starting to see the glimmer of the new man.
Absolutely. And listen, it was always in there, but it was slowly being strangled. It was like having been wrapped in weeds. It was slowly being strangled and muffled. I'm the person I've always been. Only I'm stripping away all the issues that have held me back. And it doesn't mean that I'm going to be going out and becoming a superhero or coming out and making, you know, bigger and better things. It means that I'm finding peace and I'm finding happiness. And I think that's going to affect the way I am as a father, the way I am as a husband, the way I am as a friend, the way I am as a singer, and the way I am as a songwriter. So I think the best is yet to come.
Well, this is unbelievable. Honestly, I'm so inspired by this. Yeah, yeah.
And to think we can meet you as well, which is just amazing, because I know that people would love to do that. The trouble is you want to sit down and talk for 2 hours with Jimmy. That's the only problem.
Oh, you know, I'm fond of a chat.
Jimmy Barnes. Who knew you were going to provide us with all this great music, all these great stories, and then
behind the scenes,
a way to unlock some stuff that a lot of people have been hanging on to?
Well, a lot of people have helped me along the way. So, you know, it's about passing it on, I guess.
And you're certainly doing that.
And Jimmy, so you've done two. You've done Working Class Boy, Working Class Man. Surely there must be Working Class Hero.
I've got a few more things. I've got a few more things to write. You know, I want to write about some serious stuff. I want to write some fiction too, because I've got some wild stories.
Well, we love the kids' book.
I can't really tell. So it was fiction.
You know what? Keep your sense of humour. Good point.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that Jimmy Barnes.
You know, as you say, Jim, like just listening then, you've really blown me away behind the scenes. Mm. Like I looked at you and you go, you've got the world at your feet. That's what, and probably all of your fans did, Jimmy.
Yeah, and I did have it. I kept ripping the carpet out from underneath myself.
Yeah, and there's something else. You know, there's another side.
There's another side.
Yeah.
You know, and the
third. Nothing's ever as it seems.
Nothing is ever as it seems. And the evening of stories and songs as well. So you've got your book, but that too.
Yeah, that's
Civic Theatre Newcastle. That's Friday, April 6th next year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
From Ticketek. Jimmy Barnes, thank you for all the gifts you keep giving us, my friend.
Thanks, guys. Look forward to seeing you.
Thank you.
Good on you, Jimmy.